So if Paul is writing and his prayers, he's recording these prayers under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, can we not understand today that these prayers are the will of God for us today as believers? So as you study the Word of God and you study out these prayers, Paul's praying for these believers, but let us understand that what he records here is the will of God for your life, for my life, and not that we would take these prayers and pray verbatim one for another, but we should be outlining these prayers and understanding how we can be praying one for another, understanding what are the needs that we have in the church? What are the needs that we can pray one for another as brethren in the church? So I want tonight to talk to you out of chapter one, and I want you to think about this chapter. And Paul is speaking about our spiritual riches. How many of us are living spiritually like paupers, like those who have nothing, when we have great riches, when we have great treasures in Jesus Christ? And so I'm reminded as we're outlining this chapter, you think of all the spiritual blessings Paul relates to them in chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. The blessings that they have received from the Father. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then he goes through and explains all that the Lord had done for us, all that the Lord has prepared for us in Christ. When you are in Christ, when you come to Christ, look at all the blessings that you have. Look at verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I think the key is in him, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so God in salvation, these are the blessings that we are made holy. We can live a life without blame before him in love. This is God's plan for us in salvation. This should be something that we experience in our spiritual lives. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Think about being adopted into the family of God. Receiving all the blessings. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Think of all the blessings you have by being adopted into the family of God, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So think about how we are now accepted, how we can come before the throne of grace, how we can pray, how we can serve the Lord, how we can live a life that pleases the Lord through salvation that we have received. Verse 7. And you think of the blessings that we have through the Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And just think of all the spiritual blessings we have through the blood of Christ, the spiritual riches we have through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the inheritance that awaits us. All of this, God, we have so many riches, we have so many treasures, spiritual riches through the Father, through the Son. And I think in verses 13 and 14, you think about the Holy Spirit, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. So think about the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has been given unto us. We are sealed at the moment of salvation. And that earnest, that Holy Spirit is our guarantee, our down payment, if you will. It's a guarantee of the inheritance that God has prepared for us. Think of all these spiritual riches we have, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now Paul begins in verse 15 to start out with this prayer. The prayer that he's now praying for these believers. And this is the prayer that we need to take as the will of God for our lives today. Let's begin in verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So Paul is thanking, he's praising the Lord, verse 15, for their faith and for their love. And so God has used the testimony of the Ephesians. It's amazing. We just celebrated 40 years at Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. It was just two Sundays, a week ago Sunday. And it was a great celebration. Let me tell you, 2 days of preaching, different mission, all of our missionaries, except Brother Doug Hammett was not able to be back. He's coming back in the fall for the Bible conference and some other things. But some of the preaching was out of the book of Ephesians and about the church, how important the doctrine of the church through the book of Ephesians. But the Lord was really speaking to me, and I didn't have the liberty to preach on it, but you read the book of Ephesians, and you read of the testimony of the Ephesians. You read of all the spiritual riches that they received in Christ. Throughout this book, and then you turn to Revelation chapter 2. Verses 1 to 8. And you read, I'm talking in a short amount of time, brethren, probably 40 years' time, how they lost their first love and how they had to repent. They had to remember, to repent, to return, or to be removed. In a 40-year period of time. And they had to return to the first works and return to that first love. So that should be a warning. How much do we have in Christ, but how quick? How quick we are prone to leave that the blessings, the spiritual blessings, the spiritual riches, and forget about the Lord and all that He's given to us. So I hope that will speak to you as much as it was a warning to me about keeping that love for the Lord first and foremost in our lives, and remembering that love is honeymoon love. That's what it is. It talks about the love of your espousals in Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. It talks about that love, that honeymoon love. And that's the love you had for Jesus when you first were saved. And you had for the Lord when He redeemed you. And as Paul is speaking to them about all that the Lord did in salvation and all the blessings they have in Christ. Do you remember that? And do you remember how you served Him and how you loved Him and how the first works and that, you know, the Word of God was like, this is your daily meat. This is your daily food and your prayer life and witnessing and on fire for the Lord and praising Him and serving Him. You know, that doesn't have to fade away. We need that love, that first love. And it's something we need to remember. All that He's done for us right here. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2. Just keep reading the book. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Return. Amen. Repent of the evil. Repent of that which has taken you away. What has taken you away from that first love? Repent of that which has stolen that love that you had for Jesus Christ out of your heart. What is that idol? What is that sin? What is that which is more important than Jesus in your life right now? That's what you need to repent of. And return. Or be removed. I think of a church. One of the burdens I have, there's so many churches closing their doors all across America. And you just wonder the history. Churches who once stood, once preached the truth, the sound doctrine. They were strong, independent Baptists. They were strong in the faith, in the Word of God. And today, they no longer exist. Certainly, they lost their first love. They left those first works. They never returned. And today, they're removed. They've lost their light. They've lost their testimony. They've lost their witness. They've lost Jesus Christ and His presence in the church. So may this chapter be precious to you as when you were first saved. To remember all these blessings. Just think of the riches that we have in Christ. Just think of everything that happened the day you were saved. How you were born again. You were regenerated. You were justified. You were made righteous, declared righteous. You received the Holy Spirit of God. And He sealed you. And you became the temple of the Holy Ghost. Think of all the blessings that you have in salvation. The riches that you have. And think about this chapter. And think about this book. How that you are already seated in the heavenly places, in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ. Can you even wrap your mind around that? That is your position, your spiritual blessing, your inheritance through salvation. So Paul's encouraging them, and he's recognizing their faith. And remember, when you go over to the book of Revelation, he praises them, you know, for their doctrine. Isn't it sad? You can have the right doctrine and not love Jesus Christ like you should love him. Maybe that's where churches have gotten off. Maybe that's where Christians fail. So look, we have these blessings. We have Paul's recognized verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love, they have that love unto all the saints. And he says in verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now here's the prayer. And I want to just develop this a little bit tonight. What is he praying for? And really, that you tonight can recognize this as the will of God for your life. Number one, Paul prays that they might know God. That they might know him. Look at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, what? In the knowledge of him. God wants, Paul is praying that God would give us the knowledge of him, that to know God. I want you to understand tonight that knowing God is of utmost importance in your life. Go to Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 23. Since the pastor already said, he said, there's no snacks at his house, so we'll just feast on the Word of God. Amen. We'll just stay here longer. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. How much do we glory in our wisdom, brethren? In our knowledge, education. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Think of those. What do we know about the loving kindness of God? What do we know about the judgment of God? What do we know about righteousness of God? For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You know, what are we glorying in? Are we glorying in our knowledge of God? Are we glorying in our wisdom? Our riches? Our might? How important it is to know God. I think the Bible through and through. Look at John chapter 17 and verse number 3. John 17 and verse number 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Listen, eternal life depends upon your knowledge of God. Do you know him? Second Thessalonians will not go there for sake of time, but you can note it down that 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9 tells us very clearly that failure to know God will lead to everlasting destruction. Everlasting, if you do not know God, it'll be everlasting destruction of your soul. Now, when we speak of knowledge, I'm not speaking of a casual awareness of God that we may have growing up in churches, growing up in Sunday school, growing up in Christian schools, growing up in Christian homes. What we're talking about, and what Paul is talking about, what these scriptures are talking about, brethren, is a personal relationship with God. A personal knowledge of God, not just some rote knowledge and understand. No, we're talking about a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Are you close to him? That's what Paul was praying. Amen? Now this knowledge, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And I hope I can get through this passage. Please don't tell me it's already 8:30. Who stole all the time, preacher? 8:30? This knowledge, as we're reading in verse number 17, comes through that the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, certainly in the old, in the giving of the New Testament, there were gifts. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 does speak of these gifts. But what we're talking about here, when it is speaking to us today, this comes through the Word of God that is complete and perfect. It is not the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the time when they were giving the Word of God. Now we have the complete Word of God. It is the Holy Spirit of God that gives us the knowledge of God. And we need the Holy Spirit working in us. We need to submit, surrender to the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I love teaching and preaching on John chapters 14, 15, and 16 about the Holy Spirit. There's so much that the Lord Jesus Christ teaches about the Holy Spirit that right in those three chapters, you can understand how false and how wrong the charismatic movement is just by reading and studying John 14, 15, and 16. But it also speaks about the Holy Spirit's ministry in us when he comes and he came, amen, on the day of Pentecost. That's a historical event. There's only one Pentecost, never to repeat itself again. The coming of the Holy Spirit to indwell his church and to indwell as a result. When you get saved, he indwells you. That was the promise. He shall be with you and in you. Amen. So that ministry of the Holy Spirit today is giving us wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of God. Now he prays in verse 18 that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Again, this enlightening, this understanding is coming through the Holy Spirit. This is how we can understand the Word of God. This is how we can learn truth from the Word of God. Are you letting, are you in contact with the Word of God on a daily basis? Are you studying the Word of God? Are you submitted to the work of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, bringing you into knowledge of God? So Paul prays that they might know God. Secondly, Paul prays that they might know the hope of God's calling. We see this in verse number 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. This calling that Paul is speaking about is a calling that occurred in our lives through the preaching of the gospel. Do you remember the calling of God? And this calling began through the preaching of the gospel. But it also tells us in the Word of God that he called us into his own kingdom and glory. This is through the book of Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 12 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 2 12. And Peter tells us we've been called out of the kingdom of darkness unto his marvelous light. Think about the calling that you have by God, that we might know the hope. Now, hope is not what we think, you know, I hope this comes to happen. I hope. When you think of hope in the Bible, hope is a firm conviction. And understanding that this will happen. Amen? It's not something that you are wondering one day, but when he says the hope of his calling, we have a desire with expectation. And so he already goes back. Look at verse 4 and 5. He already tells us what's going to happen. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory. I'm sorry, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Brethren, this is the hope of our calling, to be holy and blame, to be adopted as sons in verse number 5. And Paul later in chapter 2 reveals more about the hope of this calling. There's no reason tonight that we should be a people without hope. As we read the pages of Scripture, we need to know the hope of the calling of God, that what he has given to us in Christ, what he has prepared for us in Christ, and we should have a firm desire and expectation and conviction that this is what God is doing in our lives. This is what God has prepared for us. Number 3, Paul prays that we might know the riches of God's inheritance. Verse number 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I think about all that we have, our inheritance. Paul again spoke of this in verses number 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Brethren, that's our inheritance. We have been adopted as sons. We obtained an inheritance. And the Holy Spirit in verses 13 and 14 has been given to us as a guarantee of that inheritance. Look at chapter 2. Think of your inheritance. Chapter 2. Verses 6 and 7, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now think of this, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. This is what's going to take place. This is our inheritance. And he also writes in chapter 2, think about how that the Gentiles, believers in chapter 2, speaking in many different verses, how that they are fellow citizens, how that they are fellow heirs. And this is our inheritance as believers. But I like the last part of this verse, because this is the part, or this prayer, this is the part I need as a missionary. This is the part that we need prayer about. And I believe you need this as a believer today. If you're going to have victory in your life, verse number 19, chapter 1, verse 19. Paul prayed that they might know the power of God in their lives. Brethren, what a wonderful promise here. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now I want you to diagram that sentence for me by tomorrow. Did you read that sentence? That's a whole sentence right there. Amen? Wow. You think about this whole prayer. It just begins, verse 15, just keep going down. Diagram that whole thing, will you? Think about the power of God and the things that he tells us that we ought to know. We ought to experience this power of God in our lives. In verse number 19, I think the first thing he says, exceeding greatness of his power. And exceeding meaning surpassing, unlimited, immeasurable, beyond imagination. That is the power of God. And then he says it's exceeding great. It's mighty. It's explosive. It's beyond measure. He wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. Do we know that power in our lives? Now, this power, according to the working of his mighty power, verse number 19 and 20, which he wrought in Christ. Brethren, this power is according to the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the power. Chapter 1. It also talks about this power. Look at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Brethren, if you read chapter 2, this is that same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. This is that same power that exalted him to the heavenly places. And this is the same power. Paul gives us an example of this power in chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. This is the power, brethren, that we were made alive when we were dead in trespasses and sins. This is the power of God that he wants to make real in your life. Think about that. We were spiritually dead. And he made us spiritually alive. Are you alive tonight, spiritually? Verse 6 of chapter 2, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Brethren, this is the power that he wants us to know. Now, you may not think this is very impressive kind of power. You remember the question that Jesus posed to those questioning him in Matthew chapter 9, which is easier? Is it easier to raise the sick and the dead or to forgive sins? Now think about that. Think about forgiving sins. Jesus was teaching them how much power the Son of Man hath on earth to forgive sins. Brethren, to forgive sins, he's raising a spiritually dead person and making them spiritually alive. That is required of divine power. And that's the power of salvation. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 16. Think about this power that he would grant you. Brethren, this is like a continuation of prayer. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That word might is dunamis. That word might is speaking of that same power. That same resurrection power. Think about the day you were born again. You were regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. This is the same power that God wants to give to us in our inner man, to have that same power on a daily basis to be strengthened against temptations, to be strengthened against the enemy, the onslaughts of the enemy, to be strengthened to walk a life that pleases the Lord, to live a life that is holy and without blame, to live in righteousness. This is the power that he offers us in the inner man. That same power that resurrected Jesus Christ, that raised him up. Look at chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able. Brethren, how much ability does God have? Think about his creation. But you know, it's all stemming back in this chapter and in this development of that resurrection power. Amen? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Where's that power working in us? That power is working in your inner man. Amen? That power is working in the church. Look at verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Think about the power. Paul's praying that we would have that power. Paul's praying this is the will of God for you as a Christian, that you would experience this power to make you alive, this power to strengthen your inner man, this power that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that works in us, in us. But go to chapter number 6, verse number 10. What else does this power do for us? Why do we need this power? Why do we need to experience? Why do we need to know the power of God? Brethren, we are in a battle. We are in a war. And he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We need the power of God because we are fighting against what? Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he goes on to tell us about the armor of God. And I want to remind you tonight that every piece of armor is related to the Word of God. The truth, righteousness, the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But I want to take you to verse number 18. Brethren, I hope tonight that prayer is not a last resort, but prayer is a first response. Because prayer is not a defensive weapon. Prayer is an offensive weapon. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And we come full circle, brethren, and he says this, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therefore I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Here he's asking for prayer because he depended upon prayer. And I believe for missionaries in our personal lives, but I also believe through churches that the power of God is unleashed through prayer. Our private prayer, but our corporate prayer as well. We need the power of God. Maybe some of you, how many of you have been to Africa? Would you consider the things that go on in Africa as spiritual warfare? Brethren, the only thing we have against spiritual warfare is the Word of God and prayer. We need the power of God through prayer. I don't know if you picked up in some of the testimonies in the video, but Butumile out in Makobo clearly said that his father was a witch doctor. And that's what a traditional doctor is. A traditional doctor is a witch doctor. So he grew up in a home when his dad was a practicing witch doctor, and that his family worshiped the ancestors. Think about those two things. Worshiping the ancestors and witch doctors. brethren, this is what Africa, this is, they're prevalent in witchcraft, in sorcery, in deception, demonic powers. The only hope is the gospel of Christ. The only hope are preachers of this book that stand in the power of God. Not in the power of the flesh, but in the power of God. Paul prayed under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which is the will of God. Do you know God personally? Do you know all the riches that you have in Christ Jesus? Do you know your inheritance? Do you know the hope of your calling? Do you know what God has for you? Are you convinced of that inheritance that God has given you in the Word of God? Do you know that? Is that real to you tonight? But I think we should know the power of God. Have you been born again? Do you know the power of God in salvation? Have you been made anew? Have you been made alive? Is it real? This knowledge of God, is it personal? Is it close? Is it intimate? Is it experiential knowledge of God? Do you really know Him? Have you been born again? And I ask you, how's it going on? How is your spiritual life in the inner man? Not what we see here in church. Not what we hear come out of your lips. Not what you can say Sunday to Sunday and Wednesday to Wednesday. But really, what's going on in the inner man between you and God? Do you know power in the inner man? Do you know the might and power of God that is uplifting you up and keeping you strong and helping you stand firm inside? And do you know the power of God against the wiles of the devil? Do you know the power of God against the spiritual wickedness in high places? Do you experience the power of God working in you and through you, giving you the victory and giving you the ability to spread this light, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, and advance the kingdom of Christ in the kingdom of darkness? Do we know that power? I believe it is the will of God. And I believe, brethren, we should think about chapter 1 and then go over and read Revelation chapter 2. Where are we? In chapter 2 of Revelation or in chapter 1?